All right, back now with sports journalist Mike Grenier to talk about the Celtics. What else? Mike, how are you?
Feeling really good about such an impressive road win by the Celtics last night to even that series at 1-1.
Oh, it was. You know, Mike, before I ask for your analysis, I always like to just throw out my observation out there because I'm a novice,
you're not a novice, and
this stuff comes out. Okay, this is so you could critique this or me on this. The thing that stood out to me, and I couldn't believe what I was watching, and I can't remember if it was the second quarter or the second and third quarters, both. But it seemed to me, honest to God, the image I got was every time a Miami player had the ball, he was double-teamed. Every single player was double-teamed, and I don't know how they do that. So that obviously that's an exaggeration, but that's what it seemed like.
Well, you know, I think that's a great point, because I think what happened... it happened more towards the latter part of the first quarter and throughout the rest of the game. Udoka actually called a timeout. I believe it was like 18-8.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like the defensive rotations. He felt the players were closing out too late on the shooters. And so Miami had some really good looks early in the game, and they were able to push the lead 18-8. At that point, fortunately, there was still approximately like 43, 42 minutes left in the game. So they made the adjustment. They started to close in on the shooters at a much earlier in the 24-second clock, and the Celtics just took off from there. Rick, to me, you might know this particular figure, but from the point when they were trailing 18-8, and then until, I believe, near the end of the first half. So we're only talking like a quarter and a half. They outscored Miami 60-21.
Oh, my gosh.
60-21.
That's ridiculous.
So, in other words, things were working out basically perfectly on both ends of the court, and they had 70 points at the half, 70-45. So tough for even a home team in Miami to come back from that sort of deficit when the Celtics were clicking literally on every cylinder.
All right, before we get to key players on both sides,
yes.
We've talked about this before, the importance or lack thereof of a coach, and you mentioned on our Monday night program how good both of these coaches are.
Oh, yeah.
And on, what's today? On Thursday night's game, last night for us as we record this, as you mentioned, that first time out, it changed everything. It reminds me sometimes when you see, an early timeout in football or an early timeout
right.
in hockey and all of a sudden things change.
Yep. You're right. And it did. And I think Spoelstra last night, it's funny, he didn't look frustrated on the sideline. It's almost like he was taking it in, he was absorbing the defeat. In other words, trying to figure out, it's almost like you could see him thinking but when they showed him up close on TV.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to figure out maybe what substitution can I make, what rotation can I use to try to get back in this game. And eventually, when the Celtics led by 30 or 34 points, and I think the players were on the bench at that point. Jimmy Butler was on the bench for a while, and Bam Adebayo, the big center, was on the bench. And I think Adebayo wanted to get back in the game, and basically Spoelstra said, no, just sit there because it'll take too much effort to come back from 34 down late in the third quarter. We're going to save that energy for game three in Boston. I'm not saying he was conceding, but it's almost like, okay, he didn't want to risk the starters playing huge minutes to maybe make it a 15-point game instead of losing by 25 or 30. And I think post-game, Spoelstra was very complimentary of the Celtics, and he basically just said they took it to him from the initiative, from the midway through the first quarter on, and there really wasn't much he could do. I mean, and one point that should be made regarding the Heat is they lost a starting player last night, P.J. Tucker, and that was lost in the shuffle because the Celtics were in the midst of a blitz late in the first quarter that gave him a big lead. And P.J. Tucker has a knee injury, and I know for a fact he's going through an MRI today,
mm-hmm.
and just to indicate whether he's going to be available for Game 3 or the rest of the series or whatever the case may be. And that's a big blow to them because he is a defensive specialist and was with the championship Milwaukee Bucks team last year. So if they don't have him, it definitely hurts them.
The flip side of that is two of Boston's defensive specialists were back in the rotation last night.
Oh, Rick, I'll tell you, you know, when you look at the numbers alone, the Marcus Smart had just an unbelievable... It shows you the value of Marcus Smart when he's paired with Horford. That preferred Celtics lineup, Rick, of Marcus Smart, Horford, Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, I think they've only been together for like 34, 35 games, and their record when all five players are available to start the game is like 26-8, I believe it is, or 27-8. And it shows you how they're very difficult to beat when that first unit is intact health-wise. And I think maybe some Boston folks might have panicked after game one because the Celtics got blown out in that third quarter and lost by, 11 points. But you were missing Marcus Smart and you were missing Al Horford. And you look at Marcus Smart's line last night, 24 points, I think it was 12 assists, 9 rebounds, and Rick, in 40 minutes, the thing that impressed me the most, one turnover in 40 minutes. Now, Derek White, who started the previous game, 29 minutes, he had 3 points, he had like 4 assists, he had 2 turnovers. It's just the comparison, it's not even a comparison.
Right.
It was such an upgrade to have Marcus Smart up there in the starting lineup last night, because he's not only is he create things for himself in terms of playing fearlessly and getting to the basket and getting to the foul line and playing great defense, but obviously he knows every place that Jason Tatum's favorite shots are. He knows where Jaylen Brown needs the ball. He knows where Horford needs the ball. And, of course, Robert Williams is great on the alley-oop pass. So his impact is immeasurable when Marcus Smart is healthy. And last night after the game, he said, I feel healthy. I feel good. I feel strong. And so he certainly looks like he didn't suffer any ill effects physically last night from playing 40 minutes.
I remember, Mike, going back over the years, the last 4 or 5 years since that trio has been together, and there have been calls time and time again in the media to break up the three. And we need a superstar. Well, that experiment failed miserably, but this one seems to be working pretty good.
Right. There's no question about it. I think Marcus Smart's now an 8-year veteran, and, Tatum and Brown know they're very, very close right now to getting to NBA Finals. And I think they're going to, I think they have the proper, they're mature enough to approach it one game at a time. That's a cliche, however, you have to do it that way. One game at a time, one quarter at a time, one half at a time, and put it together for another game. If you could take a 2-1 lead in Boston and end up, it would be unbelievable if it took a 3-1 lead by winning the next two games at the Garden. And I can tell you this, the Celtics fans are going to be far louder than the Miami fans. I mean, you look at the stands last night. The beginning of the game, some of the prime seats were not even taken in Miami. That's because people eventually arrive middle of the second quarter after being at the beach.
Well, okay. We don't quite have that luxury most of the year around here.
No, we don't.
I want to go back to Ime Udoka for a minute, Mike, if I could.
Okay, of course.
How is it unique, or how unique might it be that he can not only motivate these guys, but he also has a game within a game strategy, seemingly, whenever it's needed. Because, I'm trying to figure out these adjustments he makes. Is it because of his understanding of the game, logistics, and all that kind of stuff? Or is it because the players know what to do, and he's able to motivate them, or a combination of that? You know what I'm trying to ask here?
Yes, I do. It's almost like a Belichick in-game adjustment, right?
Bill yeah.
Belichick of the Patriots. In other words, like I think last night was like sort of perfect example. They're down by 10. He didn't like what was going on. He didn't want it to get out of hand. He called a timeout. He pointed out what they needed to do, and like you saw, like you observed, it looked like every Miami player was getting double-teamed, at least initially when they got the ball. It might have been a little bit of an optical illusion because they can't quite double-team everybody. But obviously, they did a phenomenal job on the two key offensive players. Jimmy Butler had 29 last night, but he had 16 in the third quarter. When Marcus Smart, if anybody wants to rewatch the third quarter, Marcus Smart was not the primary defender on Jimmy Butler in the third quarter when Butler got 16. It was mostly Grant Williams, and it was Jaylen Brown. I think Marcus Smart was spreading over different players. And so the Celtics had a huge lead at the time, and Udoka had a little bit of a luxury there. He didn't have to stick Marcus Smart on a real tough guy in Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler, the other thing was, Jimmy Butler only went to the foul line 8 times last night as opposed to 18 times in game one. And you can sit at the foul line all night, and it's not going to take a physical pounding when you're at the foul line. So in other words, he had to work so much harder to get 29 points last night than he did to get 41 in game one. So they did a great job on Jimmy Butler, And, you know, again, I'll tell you what, it was a great thing post-game when Marcus Smart was on the podium and talking about what a warrior Butler is and how tough he is to handle physically. And then hearing about that, when Jimmy Butler came to the podium, he acknowledged to it, he heard that, you know, obviously someone told him what Smart said. And he said, you know what, he's quite a warrior too, referring to mm-hmm. Smart. So, and Jimmy Butler is kind of a determined guy like Marcus Smart. He doesn't want a repeat of that in Game 3. So you know he's going to come out strong. He's going to take it to the basket, try to draw fouls in Game 3. However, the problem with the Heat right now, as I see it anyway, is that they don't have, at this point in the series, they don't have the complementary scorers that even the Milwaukee Bucks had against the Celtics. Tyler Hero, the sixth man of the year, who can give you 20, 25, 30 points off the bench, had only like 11 or 12 last night. And, you know, Victor Oladipo, who came back from missing 74 regular season games with a knee injury, had like 13 or 14 points, but 10 of those, 9 of those came from the foul line. Now, they have to get somebody going off the bench if they want to compete with the Celtics, because the Celtics, they've shown in two games, they've kind of, I don't want to know if the word is exposed the Miami defense, but they've certainly been really been able to score. You know, you take the first half in particular, 70 points last night and 62 in game one. So they've been able to score heavily against a vaunted Miami defense in those first two games.
Well, they must find some weakness, and of course they exploit it, and they're also shooting the heck out of the ball.
They sure are. 20 for 40, right, Rick, from the three-point line last night. So that was another critical element in the Celtics' win last night. I thought they put the whole package together last
yep.
night. The Celtics did, both offensively and defensively, and that's why right now you come home feeling good when you split. When you don't have the home court advantage and you go on the road and you split, and now you're home for two, and if things go well, you take a 3-1 lead going into Game 5 in Miami. But, of course, it remains to be seen. Miami finished first for a reason, so I expect them to come out strong in Game 3 tomorrow night at the Garden.
And when you mention Jimmy Butler and Marcus Smart as warriors, I hope it's with a lowercase W in both cases.
Oh, yes, of course. The other warriors reside in the, on the West Coast.
Yeah, we don't want them out there. I think, finally, Mike, you put your finger on all of this stuff, and, you know, the Celtics come home. But I do want to hear a little bit more about Jaylen Brown, because lately, you know, Jason Tatum, in the media at least, has been given all the credit for being the superstar.
Right.
But Jaylen Brown, to me, seems to be relentless. And you mentioned his defensive prowess the other night as well.
Right. And I think, you know, sometimes we, including us, tend to overlook Jaylen Brown, because Tatum will score 32 and Jaylen Brown will have 22. And you say, oh, you know, Jaylen Brown, he got 22, but Tatum got 32. Well, you know, you look at the box score and Tatum took 6 or 7 more shots. So I think you have to give credit to Jaylen Brown for his consistency in getting you anywhere from 20, and on a hot night, he can get you 36 or 38 or whatever. So, and he makes acrobatic shots. He gets into the paint. He's really dangerous. He's very quick in the paint. He's a tremendous finisher at the rim, even against anybody on defense. And I think that's what his value is his consistency as a scorer. The only thing that makes you nervous is the way he handles the ball at times. I noticed, I believe last night, he had just like one turnover, which is very good for him. And, you know, he's always seems to score in the 20s. So sometimes he's overshadowed, like Al Horford had a 30-point game against the Bucks. So you're focused on his 30. And, of course, Tatum had 46 on the road in Milwaukee in Game 6. So you overlook the games where Jaylen Brown gets anywhere from 20 to 26 points. So no one should take him for granted, but I guess it's human nature to take a player for granted at times. But Jaylen Brown certainly is a core, he's part of that core group that's going to get him to the finals, hopefully. And you know, it's hard to believe that 3 months ago, Rick, we were talking about a 500 team, because now
they're
3 wins away from being in the finals.
I'm a believer, I'll tell you. Yeah, I know that. They were so frustrating at the beginning of the year through that first half. And I think one other comment I'd ask from you was on Tatum. It looked to me, it looked like there was once or twice,
yes,
he was about to lose it with the officials again. And then it was like a little light went off, and he said, never mind, let's just get back on defense.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because I think I saw that. He did that. But he might have still realized they were up 26 or 28 points, and it'd be fruitless to get the momentum going in Miami's direction. So he kind of didn't bother.
Right.
You know, I would still like. I think Rick, what you're saying, and I'd like to see it too. I'd still like to see a bit more maturity from Tatum in that regard. If you're up by 24, you don't need to complain to the officials. And if you play through it, eventually you're going to get those calls. You're going to get those calls because you're going to reach a status in the NBA, like, you know, for example, like a Jimmy Butler or a Giannis, where you're going to get some calls that are borderline and you'll end up going to the foul line. But if you complain too much, it's like the little boy that cried wolf, right? So he has to rein it in. I think that's part of it's on him, but it's also Udoka, I think, is well aware of it, and he doesn't mind giving these subtle criticism to Tatum and Brown if they get on the officials.
Right.
We don't see Brown get on the officials too much, but of course Tatum is pretty demonstrative when he throws his arms up, and I think Udoka, where he gets upset, Rick, is when he throws his arms out and doesn't get back on defense quickly.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's I mentioned Grant Williams has sort of picked up that little disease, if you want to call it, of complaining to the officials, and he was actually taken out of the game during the Milwaukee series because he did not get back on defense.
Right.
So I think Udoka is really, his antenna is up on that stuff. And Tatum just has to rein it in and become a bit more mature in playing through what looks like a bad foul situation when he doesn't get the calls. He just has to get back on defense, because otherwise you're hurting your team if you don't get back on defense.
Well, I think it's baby steps. And I remember we criticized him a year or two ago when he scored 60 points.
Yep.
And one of his press conferences, it was all I. I am the greatest. Me. And now, especially this second half of this season and into the playoffs, it's a we concept. And I think we talked about it before, too. He's making other players better, which makes him better.
Right. I agree with that. And I think even in his post-game talks at the podium, every time they've lost a game or every time they've won a game, he talks about the way a team responds.
Yes.
The way a team responds from a loss. In other words, throughout these playoffs, the Celtics haven't lost two in a row because they responded so well after losing a game. And Tatum has been emphatic in using that word, responding to adversity. So if they lose by 2 or by 20 or 18, he wants to see a response. And he takes it apart. He has said after the game one loss, he was very emphatic in saying, I need to lead better. I need to get my teammates involved. I need to play better. So I think he's on the right channel. You know what I mean? He's on the right path as far as responding the correct way, involving his teammates. But bottom line here, Rick, before we go away, is I think Marcus Smart deserves so much credit for the position the Celtics are in right now, because even when they weren't playing well earlier this season, he's the one that believed in the team concept, and he's the one that believed in criticizing both Brown and Tatum if they didn't want to buy into Udoka's team concept. So, and here they are sitting, you know, 3 wins away from the finals. And on the floor, he's exhibiting all the qualities that we've seen. I saw some people last night were upset because he was 2-for-12 on threes at one point in the game. Well, he finished, what was it, 5-for-12 overall. He was 2-for-12 shooting overall, not 2-for-12 for threes. But he kept firing away, and he started hitting those shots. And he's got to take them, because otherwise you're double and triple-teaming Tatum or Brown. And so he's got to take those shots, and he was making them, and he wound up with 24 points, and he had a phenomenal stat line last night. Matter of fact, Rick, if I can leave you with this regarding Marcus Smart, the stat line that he put up last night with the one turnover, 24 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, the only other player who's matched that in the playoffs is Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons,
yeah,
in his heyday.
That's pretty amazing when you consider what people around here thought of Marcus Smart the last several years. And I'm gonna leave you with this. I think Udoka has been feeding the team the Robert Parrish comments after games, when Robert Parrish consistently and invariably said, we have to play better both individually and collectively as a team. That phrase has burned into my head.
Yes, I agree. And Larry Bird was like that a lot, too. But you're right, Parrish was the ultimate. Parrish didn't care how many shots he took if they won the game. And he fit his game into what the Celtics were doing every single game. So, yeah, it's a great attitude to have. And right now, the Celtics are just kind of just they're really focused in on the big prize at the end here. So we hope that no one gets hurt by tomorrow night and they can continue this run that they're on, because right now the Miami Heat are scrambling, especially on defense, to figure out how the Celtics are scoring so many points.
All right, Mike, we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great, Rick, and thank you for the call.
Well, thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. That is sports journalist Mike Grenier with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.